everybody. Raise your hand and just wave unto the Lord. Wave unto the Lord. My soul magnify the Lord. My spirit praise his name. For even death could not hold him captive. Even in the grave, Jesus Christ is still Lord. He is the King of kings, people. Praise him. Bless the name of the Lord. Wave your hand unto him and call him by the name you love. Tell him he's God. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's our Messiah, our hope, our salvation. The King of kings himself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's the great conqueror, our hope and our salvation. Father, bring your blessing upon your people this morning. In the name of Jesus. Every burden, Lord, every heavy load, Father, start to lift in Jesus' mighty name. In the name of Jesus. Say it with me one more time. My soul magnify the Lord. And my spirit praise his name. For they could not hold him captive, even in the grave. Jesus is Lord, even in the grave. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. Hallelujah. Please be seated. God bless each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. My soul will magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And my spirit will praise his name. This morning, by the grace of God, we continue on a part two of the message we preached a couple of weeks ago. That message was cross over your Jordan. Cross over your Jordan. This is part two of that message. If the Lord leads, there might be part three of it. And I want you to pay attention on this part two because it is very vital that we learn from it. The reason we preach the word of God is to help us understand that word and to apply it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, we are going to take our reading from the book of Obadiah, chapter 1, verse 17. And the title of the message, Obadiah chapter 1, 17, the title of the message is Possessing Your Jericho. Amen. Everybody repeat with me. Possessing your Jericho. Amen. The first part of this message, as we said, is cross over your Jordan. And that is the first message we preached into the new year. And we talked about Jordan being an obstacle. And we pointed out to the four major obstacles that in that New Year Eve, it's a crossover night into the new year. And we looked at those obstacles, one of them being the overflowing of Jordan. As even the Bible says, what will you do if you cannot live in peace when the land is at peace? What will you do in the overflowing of Jordan? And then we looked at the experience of the man who is to lead them into the promised land. One day, overqualified, experienced individual couldn't do it, which was Moses. And we pointed out to the victories, to the experience and the things that Moses have done. And still, he couldn't cross the people of the Lord into the promised land. And Joshua was to do it. And then we spoke about the faith that they put in the Lord and how that faith held still even when they are 3 feet away from Jordan, because the Bible says, until the sole of their feet touched the tip of Jordan, that is when the angels went into action. And one of the reminders I have for us is, do not quit just before your miracle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do not give up when your miracle is always almost at sight. Many of us have tendency to quit. Today, it is possessing your Jericho. And in this, we are going to point out to some of the things that, about four or five things, that Jericho is a type of a promise. It is an inheritance for the people of the Lord. They have not gone into the Netherland, that is the middle of the land, but this is a vital city that must be taken. If they do not take Jericho, they will be leaving an enemy behind them as they march inward. Jericho is at the tip of Jordan. So immediately they crossed Jordan, they now face their inheritance. And that inheritance is a blessed inheritance, but it is not under their possession. And today we are going to look at some of the things that is vital in possessing your inheritance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now let's read together on Obadiah 1:17, everybody. But upon Mount Zion shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Now you can put your name there, the house of Oba, the house of whoever shall possess their possessions. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, if it is already your possession, why do you need to possess it? Yeah, God has promised it. It is your possession. But it is not in your hand. And in moving forward in this message, I will also bring out, if time allows, the difference between possession and ownership, which is where many of us fell. We don't even have the possession. Then at times, we go a step forward and take the possession. But we do not go to the level of taking ownership of our inheritance. And the enemy can snatch it right back. Until you own it, you can't give it out. Until you own it, you can't put it in a bank. Until you own it, you can't really call it your own. A possession can be challenged. Because possession is just but 9/10 of the law. We are coming to that if God gives us the privilege and the time to speak on that. Listen, it's kind of a teaching message, but we are going to do it on that few minutes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, one of the first things that I noticed in the study, why many people of God do not take possession of their inheritance, God-given rights. At times, there is an entrenched spiritual powers that has taken resident or dominion of our God-given inheritance. This is called in the world the squatter's right. The squatter's law gives them certain rights. This spiritual stronghold of physical squatters has to be uprooted for you to possess your inheritance, the squatter's law. One of the reasons why we do not take possession of our inheritance, what is your inheritance? Your peace is an inheritance from the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When the enemy comes to take the peace of your life, the peace of your family, I'm going to teach you some principles today. Your health is an inheritance from the Lord. Your wealth, God's intention for you to prosper in health and in wealth in all things. Those are your inheritance. But at times, the enemy has taken possession of them. And we are fighting to reclaim it, and we do not fight the right way. Or some of us do not even fight at all to reclaim our possession. Joshua is faced with similar situation. There is a possession just across the Jordan, the obstacle. Now the inheritance is on sight. But let us see what is happening in Joshua chapter 6 verse 1 regarding to their possession, their inheritance, what God has given them. Now, everybody read with me. Now, Jericho was straightly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. What is that? Jericho is given to them about 40 years ago, even more than that. God has promised them, and because of sin and mistake and lack of the ability to take the possession of what God gave them, 40 days into the journey, they could have just walked over and picked up that 40 years ago, but they didn't. So because they didn't, now Jericho, when it is 40 years later for them to take possession of them, the Bible interpretation now in Jericho was straightly shut up. You are in possession, your inheritance is locked, padlocked. You are kicked out of your possession. You are only seeing your possession. You are smelling it. You may even taste it, but you are not possessing it. That is not our portion in Jesus' name. But there are reasons why that happened in the life of many Christians. Why the things they cherish are taken away from them. One of these reasons is called the squatter's law. One of the reasons why many of us fail to possess what God promised us is that we are not prepared spiritually, physically, and mentally to contend for it. To contend for it. We are not prepared physically, spiritually, and mentally to contend for what is our right, our God-given inheritance. We assume that if God has given us this promise, it will be like a walk in the park. That is not true. Not so. There is squatter's law you have to contend with. What is squatter's law? I will explain it to you a little. If you understand this, you can move a lot of things that has been standing on your way. There has to be a contention for you to possess what God has given you. And unless you contend for it, I mean when you really want to fight for something you want to keep, through your midnight cry, through fasting, through prayer, through doing things that go, through whatever means necessary that God has authorized, you will take that position. But if you lay back and say, okay, God has promised it is coming, you can sit here till Armageddon. You are not getting it. Because there are squatters, spiritual squatters, that has taken residence, taking dominion, both physically and spiritually, of what is yours, locked you out. You have to contend for it. The squatter's right law, listen to this. The squatter's right law and legal definition. A squatter right is a legal allowance to use the property of another in the absence of an attempt by the owner to force eviction. I repeat it slowly. A squatter right law, it is the law of the United States of America by most states, or if not all the states, and legal definition. A squatter has a right, is a legal allowance to use the property of another. Your property, another person's property. In the absence of an attempt by the owner of that property to force eviction, this right may eventually be converted to title to the property over time. By law of adverse possession, if recognized by law of the state, and it's recognized almost everywhere. When you are driving to California, and you see all those land, big land that is thousands and thousands of acres, and you say, hey, nobody owns this land. Believe me, somebody or government owns that land. Now, people have the foresight of buying it 20, 30 years in advance, an acre for a dollar. That place they have London Bridge in this thing, the man bought it and went on vacation there one day and they were telling us the story. He bought it for like cents per acre. Then they sit back and wait for development to catch up with their inheritance. But one thing you don't know is that people that know the law can go and build a tiny cabin. A little cabin. Nobody just build it there. Go there and hunt. Go there and stay. And after some years, if the owner of that property did not evict the person that owns that cabin there, you can contend to own ownership of the property by law of adverse possession and instance. Go check it out. That is why some people who knows this, when they have miles and miles of land and stuff, once a year or so, they hire a helicopter. They pay somebody, surveyor, to fly in it, and they take picture of all the surrounding environment, look at every inch of it, under the valley, on top of the mountain, everywhere, and come back and say, yes, there is a cabin in your property. We call the police and forcefully evict that person. If you don't evict that person, if you don't evict that people, then this law of adverse possession applies. And it says a squatter's right is a legal allowance to use the property of another in the absence of an attempt by the owner to force eviction. This right may eventually be converted to the title of property, owner of the property, over time. This is what the spiritual also happens in many of our God-given possessions. This is also what happens in many of our God-given rights. And many of us will sit back, sing kumbaya, God has given it to you. Yes, God has given it to you. But you have to possess it. And when you want to possess it, it will be like that Jericho. The gate was shut in your face, locked, padlocked. The ramparts are manned by men of war. Every one of the fortress is covered, every square inch by force of the adversary. You have to gear up. You have to be able to stand up to challenge the enemy over your family, over your children, over your wife, over your husband, in your business. Every aspect of your life is your possession. Your wealth, you are not supposed to be walking around in abject poverty, looking for means to survive. He said, the cattle in thousands, he belongs to the Lord. Silver and gold are mine. And by right of children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Whatever God owns belongs to you. Amen. So if the enemy wants to take it, you cannot sit back. You cannot be a weak Christian seeking out a prophet or whatever, a pastor to just always. You have to gear up and fight that battle and contend for it. And by God's grace, you are bound to win in Jesus' name. I've seen people who contend for something. When they really want it, this eyes, the white eyes goes to red. They go for it with everything they have. But I've seen Christians sit down and refuse to contend and give up. That is not our portion. You have to contend for what is your right in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And know that in that contention, there is one with you. He's the mighty God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said that even in the grave, he's still the Lord. And he's no more in the grave, in the heavens and the high heavens. Amen. He controls thy fears of all the old earth. That is the God we have. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse 12 to 15. Let's read it quickly, please. Joshua 12, 14 to 15. Joshua 14, chapter 14, verse 12. Let's start from 12. A possession was given to who? Caleb, 40 years ago. When they were at the tip of the Jordan to go and possess it, those who are not ready to contend say, ah, we can't. There are sons of giants in the land. They dwell in cities, strongholds. Yes, the land is beautiful, wonderful possession. Milk and honey flowing everywhere. But we cannot possess it because they are not willing to contend for it. Now, somebody among them say, no, Caleb say, no, we are able. And so because of 11 people who couldn't agree on what God has said, he was denied his position. That shall not be your portion in Jesus' name. The influence of others can affect you. And if we have time, maybe on the chapter 3, I will explain how. Because later on, I can do something in the camp that affected the whole Israel. But let's go back to the topic of today. He was in the right to possess. He's ready to contend. But that a chance we are not giving him because 11 voted against him and God got angry and nearly wiped them out from the face of the earth. Let's read together. Now, therefore, 40 years later, he came back to Joshua and said, now, therefore, give me this mountain. Amen. There are people who are not afraid to look at the mountain and say, give it to me. Wherefore, the Lord spoke in that day, for thou hadest in that day how the Anakims, that were the giants, were there. And that the cities were great and fenced. If so be that the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to do what? Drive them out as the Lord said. Let's go to 13 quickly, please. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. 14. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of who? Why did he become the inheritance of Caleb? Why? He fought for it. He is willing to contend for it. 40 years ago, it was denied him. At a point in my own life, I looked at what has been denied him. At a point, I said, no, I will take possession of what God has blessed me with. Even in the beginning, before I was born, before you were born, there are certain things that God has allocated to you. It may be long in coming. But at the appointed time, if you are willing to contend, God will revise everything for you in Jesus' name. But you have to be ready to contend for it. Do not see that there's no weak person sitting here among us. Each one of you are worth 1,000 in a fight with the devil. Because he that is with you is what? Mighty. You have to realize the power you have in Christ. He said, if the Lord be with me, then I should be able to take this mountain. Forget the Anakims. So forget the Goliaths. Forget the giants. Forget with this. He said, we are able to go up and take this country. To possess from that land to Jordan to the sea. If so be that the Lord is with us. Is the Lord with you? Is the Lord with you? I say, is the Lord with you in 2020? If the Lord with you, say amen. Amen. The Lord is with you. Then you should possess it. Do not look at the face of adversity. Look at who is carrying you on his back. It is Jesus Christ. Yes, it is Jesus. Amen. 14, 15. And the name of Hebron before was Kijat Abba, which Abba was a great man, one of the giants and so on of the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. That is when he made it his own seat. Not just possessing, he now has ownership. As I say, possession is but 9/10 of the law. Go read the law. Ownership is when you have title. You have everything in your hand. So you have to be, as a Christian, ready to contend. Second part. Do not make God your co-pilot. Yield the captainship to him. To achieve victory, we must be prepared to surrender it all. Go to Joshua chapter 5. Please hurry up. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13 to 15. At times we are in a hurry to get it and we make mistakes. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, there was what stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? Go to 14. And he said, Nay. But as captain of the host, do you know what name means? No, I'm not on your side, neither for your adversary. I am in my own league, all alone. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God, at times we expect him to take sides. You have to measure up, not measure. He doesn't measure down to us. God is by God, by himself alone in this situation. And that is the only way salvation will come. When God is requesting worship, we are requesting for him to take side. When God is requesting for us to be make him a captain, we are trying to, and I did it many times, God have mercy on me, trying to make God a co-pilot, a co-governor of the situation, instead of surrendering it all into his hand. So he said to him, No, but as the captain of the host of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua did what? He fell on his face on the earth and did worship. And said unto him, What says my Lord unto his servant? Blessed be the name of the Lord. 15. And he says, By the virtue of the presence of the Lord of hosts in this place, say, Loose thy shoe from off thy feet, for the place where you are now standing is holy. And Joshua did so. Blessed be the name of the Lord. May God grant us grace to know when to bow and worship. May God grant us the grace to know when to surrender it all into his hand. Surrendering it into God's hand doesn't mean you don't have to do your part. You have to contend. Many effects of life is spiritual before it even becomes physical. Virtually most things. There are spiritual dimensions that has to be put in place for the physical to take the normal place that God wanted it to be. Now, many of us, we want the physical to take effect first before the spiritual. Now, Joshua, seeing this man with a sword drawn, being a fearless warrior himself, went up with him and said, Are you for us or for our enemy? And many of us will be discouraged right away if God come out and say no. Manuel is fasting and praying. And then God come to me and say, I say, Are you going to help me with this situation? Are you going to be on my side on this situation? Are you for me or for my enemy? He said no. Some of us will throw on the towel right away. Well, if God is, that is not what God is saying. He's saying that there is a condition you have to meet. At times, God demands us to surrender it all, go to him in worship, go to him in praise, recognize him as the captain and not a co-pilot. Somebody will have to tug around. Somebody will have to drag with us. Somebody will have to ask, Hey, can you do this for? No, God is not there for your bum. What they call the servant? Servant. God is there to direct their fear. That's why I say here, do not make God your co-pilot. Amen? Yield the captainship to him. To achieve victory, we must be prepared to surrender all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, and Joshua did what? And Joshua did so. He flattened himself out. 1 minute ago, he has his sword, his hand on his waist, asking him, Are you for us or not? When he recognized who he's speaking with, the captain of the Lord of hosts, the mighty God himself, and he said, Ha, what do I do now? And he said, Loose the shoe from off thy foot. For because of the virtue of my presence, where you are standing now is holy. It's a consecrated ground. And now he said, What do you do? He said, Bow. And he threw himself on the floor and bowed and worshipped. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That will achieve you victory right away. When you start to worship God in the face of that great challenge, when the squatters still have their cabins or their fortresses there, and you do not look at the circumstances facing you, if you read from verse 12, you see that it said that Joshua was looking up, which is telling me that he was looking down before. Ha! He came to the promised land. He came to the land that God had promised only because it is locked up. Jericho is a mighty city, about 20, 30, 50 feet high wall, and there is a double wall. Each one of these walls has a horse, two or three or four or five horses can go through the thickness of the wall. And upon each, every few meters, they built a fortress, a rampart. They have fortified it for 40 whole years. They have prepared for war. And there are these ragtag people crossing Jordan with nothing. They don't have the equipment of war. They don't have siege engine. They don't have the equipment to fight this kind of war. And Joshua was at that point discouraged. He was looking down, and then he looked up. Amen? He looked up. And it's when he looked up that he saw the captain of the host. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord, everybody. When he looked up, he saw him. Look up, brethren. I don't know what the adversity is. It may be very challenging. It may look like night will never, the day will never come. But remember his promise. Say, weeping may endure for a night, but surely joy shall come in the morning. That is the promise of God in Jesus' name. Amen. God's path to deliverance may not make sense to you. That's the third one. The strategy to victory is God's unique right alone. God's path to deliverance for your situation may not make sense to you. The strategy to victory is God's unique right alone. Let's open Joshua chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. Joshua 6, 9 and 10. And the armed men went before the priest that blew with the trumpets, and the real word came after the ark. The priest going on and blowing with their trumpets. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, any noise. Neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you shout. Then you shall shout. Blessed be the name of the Lord. At times, you want victory in a situation. Your inheritance is there, locked up. And as a man, you have planned a strategy. You thought about it. I'm one of those that is proactive. I can't sit still without doing something. And you mapped it out and it looks good. Then maybe God used somebody to speak to you. Maybe God gave you a dream or a vision or an understanding. But it does not make sense. It doesn't make sense. But deep down in your heart, this is God. It may be that God asks you to go and kneel down and say, forgive me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's not the way in America, in the world. It may be that God says, reach out in a different way. If the battle plan for the Lord has may be confusing, it doesn't make sense. This is a mighty city. They should be talking of going to cut down trees and build siege engine to battle ram, to break down the doors and stuff. No. God said, march around the city how many times? 7 times. And all the time you are marching, not a single noise, not a single word. The army men to go before, the priest with with their horn blowing. And then the million or so people behind. No stragglers, because they have to go through that city. This once a day until the seventh day. And all this time, do not say nothing until I give the shout. I looked at this and also remember the experience that we call the mulberry tree experience. That is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, 23 to 24. Don't open it. David was in a war with the Philistines. And God said to him, sit down. While people are shouting and running around and preparing for battle, sit down and watch the top of a tree. Until you see the shaking on the top of the tree, do not make haste to battle. Do not take a step to war. But when you see the shaking of the tree on top of that tree, know that the Lord of hosts has gone before you. David cannot confine this to any other person. So the captain will come and say, sir, are we to parade or do this or put this? I'm watching the tree. I'm sure they will have gone and come and say, has he gone completely loco this time? He's watching the tree. He's watching for that sign. He's watching for what the Lord has said. He's watching. And when you see that just one single tiny sign of what God has said, believe me, do not doubt again. Go in full battle. At times I wait and wait. But immediately I saw that one tiny sign. It may be an arm that rose out of the sea when you are waiting for a rain. But Elijah said, hey, what is that? He said, I see a tiny arm. Something like a tiny crawler. He said, that's all I need. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Once you see that God has said, even if it is like 1/10 or 1/100 of it, latch onto it. And don't give up in Jesus' mighty name. God has gone before you to victory. You have victory in Jesus' mighty name. So what did he do? He was watching and watching and watching until there's a shaking on that tree. At times the enemy may come and shake the bottom of the tree. But remember God says, top of the tree. Then you have the right to go to battle. That is 2 Samuel chapter 5, 23, 24. Jehoshaphat had a military order that is unique. Why are we saying this? Finding out what God is. Do not go into anything in this 2020 without praying through, without asking God for direction, so that you can have an easier, smoother ride. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. At times we stumble through, we just ram through, we just bungle through and stuff. And it comes with a lot of stress, with a lot of headache, with a lot of pain, with a lot of crying and when it is not necessary. Follow the plan of the battle. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Joseph couldn't know what to do, but he started to pray, and there were people coming in multitude. They said they were like the sands of the sea. The Ammonites were coming, the Moabites were coming, and Mount Seir were coming unto Jehoshaphat. And he cried unto God, and God said, ha, well, you are not going to see any battle. With your eyes you will see it, for the Lord will fight your battle today. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that is your portion in 2020 in Jesus' name. That thing that the enemy has held to hold you down for years, it will end this year in Jesus' name. God, the mighty God himself, will stand up on your behalf. He will show himself mighty on your behalf. He is the captain of the host, the great God himself. You will see victory this year in Jesus' name. The year of bondage, the year of being held down, the year of the enemy taking possession of your position is headed. This year, like Judah, you are going to possess your position in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So, Jehoshaphat did something unique. Well, if God is already fighting for me, why do I need to worry? So he put singers in the front, and they went on praising God. And this is like, what a crazy bunch is this? They are praising God instead of putting the men of battle in front. That's why I say, your plan or God's plan is unique for every situation. Do not bother about following your follow God's plan. Watch, listen, and when you know, follow it in Jesus' name. So now, when they started praising God, already told them, when you come to the brook of so-and-so, see what will happen, you will see the enemy there. And so they came, they're still marching on praising God. And do you know what God is saying? He set an ambushment. The spiritual CIAs went into action. They whispered to the Ammonites, these people are your enemies. But we came to them to fight war. No, they are your enemies. They are going to turn to you. So they say, we better kill them before they kill us. So the Ammonites and the Moabites start to kill the third of the group, the Mount Seir people. And when they finish killing them, the CIAs of the spiritual heaven CIA is still at work. He whispered to the other ones, and they wiped out themselves. And when Jehoshaphat and Israel came singing and dancing like crazy people, what did they do? They inherited the promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. All the nation that came to fight against them has wiped out themselves. That is what God will do if you are only able to follow his unique plan for that situation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We're going to round up quickly here because we're running out of time. To God be the glory. The other part is say Joshua 63, chapter 6, 23 and 25. Let's read it quickly, please. And this area that I want us to bring out something quickly, we just talked about following the battle plan. When you have to listen to the trumpet guides you in a specific way. That's what they do in a battle. It blows two horns or long one or short one. It tells a message. So follow God's battle plan. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And there's something about ownership I want to bring quickly in the next couple of minutes. I won't have time to go into detail. I say, don't forget to keep the promise or vow you made in the day of adversity. In fact, as far as I'm concerned, do not make a vow you don't intend to keep. Do not make promises. You can't buy God. But if you do, remember to keep that promises. Amen. If you say, Lord, I will do this, better write it down. My son saw a stone in my wallet. It is a stone I picked up in a place about 6-7 years ago and put it in a small pouch and put it in one of my, where my belongings are. I don't know what he's looking. He brought it and said, why do you have a stone, that's Toby, in a pouch? I say it's a promise I made about 7 years ago. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I haven't had opportunity to keep that promise, but God knows it's my mind. I'm looking for a way to fulfill that promise. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I picked it up on the place and say, Lord, if you will do this for me, I will do this. And to be able to remember it, I brought that stone back to the United States, and I have it there. From time to time, I see it, and each time I see it, I know that I have to keep that vow. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Write it down. Do something unique about it. But here is what I'm going to quickly hear. I say, don't forget to keep the promise or the vow you made in the day of adversity. It may be one of the reasons why many people's possession didn't convert to ownership. I don't have time to explain it today. For possession is but 9/10 of the law. In absence of a clear or compelling evidence, possession is only, to the contrary, possession is only but 9/10 of the law. Ownership is another dimension that you have to learn as a Christian. When you've taken possession of what God has given you, learn to own it. And one of those things is to keep the promises you have made. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So what was the promise? When they were going to spy out the land, a prostitute, a harlot, called Rahab, did something. And what did she do? She acted by faith. She's one of the people honored in the annals of faith in Hebrews 11:25 or so. She hired the people of God. She may not know about faith, but she knows work. And when she hired them, she helped them escape from Jericho in that day. And they said, okay, when we come back, anything that is within your house will be saved. They could have easily forgotten, but no! In the midst of the battle, in the midst of everything, trumpet and war going on, what did he say? And the young men that were spies went in and brought out who? Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. 25, hurry up, please. 25, go to 25. Go to 25. Just go to 25 right away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it says, and Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hired the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. I like that woman. You know what she did? She brought all her family, not only her this time. She brought her kindred, my cousins, my grace. What are you bringing us here? Shut up and come. Amen? Hallelujah. When you get to a certain point, you become an emblem of deliverance to others. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God will use you to deliver others, not just yourself again. You are moving up in life at that point. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When you become a source of blessing, a source of deliverance, a source of help, it's no more just you. You have grown over that level. You become a source of God's blessing. Pray for it. God will make it happen in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. So this Rahab went on to have Beth and have Boaz. And Boaz begat Obed. And Obed became Jesse. And Jesse became who? David. And as the promise says, say, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from his feet. Until Shiloh comes, unto him shall the gathering of his people be. That is the promise of God. Through who? A nonentity, nobody, prostitute, harlot, that is not worth anything. Israel could have lost their inheritance in that Jericho if they refused or failed to keep to that vow they made. She did her part. Israel did their part. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. If we have time in part three, if we do ever do it, we can go into that in more detail. So that is about all I can bring today. Ultimately, as we stand on our feet, everybody, please. Ultimately, give God all the glory. For it is his deliverance, his mercy, his grace that gave you victory. Hebrews 11:30 says, just the last scripture we're going to read. Open 11:30, please. Hebrews 11:30. By faith, the walls of Jericho did what? Fell down. But there is an after. After they were compassed about 7 days. That's the last scripture we read. After they have obeyed. If Israel did not walk around that city for 7 days as God have commanded, do you think that wall will fall? No. By faith, yes, but they also obeyed. Their faith was honored by God only after their obedience was fulfilled. Your faith will not make a headwind if you are not willing to obey and apply God's word and wisdom. They obeyed, they followed instruction, and God honored their faith. Let's raise our hand and bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. There might be anybody here who has a Jericho. If you have a Jericho facing you this morning, a big, big Jericho, just raise your hand wherever you are and let's pray. If it's overwhelming and you don't know how this is going to pan out, I want to tell you that God is able. Every other person, put down your hand. The person that has this situation or persons, please raise your hand. If you have a particular situation by word of prophecy, by utterance of God's grace that was given to us, me, on the crossover night, I want to declare something on your behalf. Eternal God, we bless you. I'm not seeing you, you are not seeing me. Or you might be seeing me, but I'm closing my eyes in this prayer. Jesus! Hallelujah. Even as you did it in the days of the old, do it again, Lord. You brought the walls of Jericho crashing down. It was a divine intervention. There was no war fought. There was no battle rams. There was no siege machines built. By the utterance of word of prophecy that you declared, oh, to your people, you say, march around this Jericho 7 times. 7 days. On the 7th day, do it 7 times. And all the time you were there, say nothing. Make no noise. Just follow the battle plan. But on the 7th day, shout hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the captain of the host himself, now I open my eyes. Lord, there are people here that might have a situation. A Jericho in their way. From possessing the promise that you have given to your people, Lord. But Lord, you have spoken by your word in that night. I said that there's a crossover until 2020 and it's a year of victory for the people of the Lord. Father, fulfill your word for your people in the mighty name of Jesus. Intervene for thy people, Lord. Intervene in the name of Jesus. Lord, those things that were in 2019, they will not crossover into 2020 because, Lord, victory has been assured through the glorious name of Jesus. I want us, everybody here, to shout, anybody who wants to shout with me, hallelujah, 7 times. 1, 2, 3, go. Hallelujah! 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 Glory be to God.